Well, I think that the as the Archbishop, I think he's quite ignorant and he's absolutely wrong. There are massive differences, ideological and also in terms of the IRA having been an indigenous organisation with clear aims, a historic organisation, an organisation that, yes, used force and conflict, and their unconscionable things happened here throughout the conflict, as there have been throughout the world. What I object to, and I'm not prepared to go along with, is this paradigm that it's loyalist Republican. Including that being the default position of people like Jeffrey, and perhaps also you've drifted into that position as well. You leave out the dimension of state responsibility, which is often involved in provoking violence in the first place. And the point I want to make is this. The first soldier to be killed here, Trooper Hugh McCabe, was killed by the RUC on the Falls Road when he came home here to defend the people of Divis Flats. First child to be killed, Patrick Rooney, was killed by the RUC. The first RUC man to be killed, Constable William Arbuckle, was killed by loyalists on the Shankill Road. And many, many Catholics were killed long before the IRA took up its weapons. That's just one fact. But the IRA has a set of demands. We know what they are. They have been historical. They're related to the fact that the Irish people were not allowed to determine their own future. And as they used constitutional methods, that too was thwarted by the threat of violence and the threat of civil war by the people who became the founding fathers of the Northern
Ireland. But the widespread revulsion, Danny, that there is across most of the world to what the Islamic State is doing. And if we take Mwazi as an example, you know, he's got a mask on. He's threatening human life. He's torturing innocent civilians. Didn't the IRA do that?
Well, the IRA were involved in
these so-called combatants put masks on and blew up men, women, and children, didn't they?
People,
as did loyalist paramilitaries.
Jeffrey's just used there. You know, there is a terrorism act that can deal with these circumstances, and we know that it's totally impotent. Whenever soldiers and police men appear in court, if ever, and it's usually, by the way, to give evidence against others, it's never to give evidence against themselves or their colleagues. They are given an anonymity. They are given names of X, Y, and Z, or A, B, and C. And, I mean, the IRA was prepared to compromise. The British government was prepared to negotiate with it because they accepted. And of course, the amnesty for the political prisoners at the end of the conflict is a clear demonstration that they accepted that there was a political dimension to the IRA campaign all along. The people who are fighting in the Middle East, I mean, they're out to set up a caliphate. They're drawing in people from across the world.
Are they terrorists, Danny?
Well, in my opinion, yes, of course they are. They use methods of mass terror.
What's the difference between a terrorist and a freedom fighter?
Well, it's often in the eyes of the beholder. But I also think that if we want to create a criteria, then we have to look at the methods that people use to get across their political wing, will, or their political authority.
Okay.
And under that definition, I mean, there's photographs from 1952 of the Royal Marines in Malaya holding up the heads of captured communists whom they beheaded. Now, nobody was charged with that, but that also was terrorism because they used methods of terrorism, state terrorism, in order to crush a communist insurgent.
Jeffrey, I'll come back to you in a second. Gary in Belfast. Go ahead, Gary. Gary's not there. Thomas. Morning, Thomas.
Hello, Stephen. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment on what that Archbishop said. What was it from New York?
Cardinal Dolan, yes.
Just complete sort of total ignorance of his statement that he made.
Why?
Well, the difference between I'm sort of in the sort of Catholic side of things, but
what's the difference between Islamic State and the IRA?
I'm going to tell you. The difference is The difference is to me is the difference between the resistance that fought under Vichy France against Nazi Germany, and the difference between psychopathic killers. To me, the IRA was just exactly the same. Now, we fought under Vichy. The IRA were the Vichy resistance under Vichy Ireland. Basically, that's the long and the short of it.
Jeffrey?
The difference between your man that jihadist, he just kills people out of a twisted, distorted interpretation of Islam. There seems to be some grave confusion at the centre of the Troubles. Like, the single greatest myth, the single greatest lie at the centre of the Troubles, that it was a religious conflict. It wasn't. It was a secular conflict. It was a secular revolution. The Arab Revolution was a secular revolution. Why did those men die? Why did those men starve themselves to death? They did it. They died for the Irish Constitution.
Let me let Geoffrey Johnson speak to you. Go ahead, Geoffrey.
I want to ask a question.
Go ahead.
When the IRA lined 10 Protestant workmen up against a van at the side of a road in Kingsmill, South Armagh, and they singled out the only Catholic who was travelling in the van that evening and told him to walk away, why did the IRA murder those Protestants? Was that an act of resistance? And what were they resisting? Was it an act of sectarianism? Did they single the 10 Protestants out because of their religion? I mean, the idea that the IRA never killed anybody because of their religion just doesn't stack up. They killed many, many Protestants. And the facts support this. They killed many Protestants simply because of their religion. They murdered them in a sectarian campaign, much of it along the border areas. It was about genocide. It was about driving the Protestant community out of that area. That had nothing to do with resistance. It had nothing to do with the concept
of Danny Morrison.
And it had everything to do with singling out Protestants for murder.
Okay, very quickly, Thomas, then Danny, you can respond to Geoffrey.
Okay, very quickly, Stephen. I never agree with the Kingsmill Massacre. Geoffrey says that it was it wasn't a religious conflict, okay? It was a secular conflict.
Okay, Thomas, thank you. Danny Morrison, go ahead, Danny.
Well, undoubtedly, there were sectarian things happened throughout the conflict. But, you know, if we're going to, do we want to start trading off incidents that happened? I mean, as I said to you, the Founding Fathers, when this state was set up, there was a massive drive against Catholics, for example, in the Belfast area, large refugees created and hundreds of people killed. The fact of the matter is, to get back to the story, is that the IRA, or an indigenous organisation, with clear historical demands about the nature of democracy on Ireland, whereas ISIS, they want a caliphate right across the, not just across the Middle East. I mean, they're already involved in Iraq and in Syria. They want to spread this right across North Africa, and they want to impose a sectarian, their sectarianism on Christians and on Shias, and they're doing it through the use of mass terror. I mean, there was a really interesting comment on BBC Two Newsnight about 3 months ago when they brought on their security correspondent, and they were talking about ISIS, and he says, no, there's no way can we compare ISIS to the IRA. We knew what the IRA wanted, and whenever there was a military stalemate, they were prepared to compromise.
We know what Islamic State wants.
Pardon?
We know what Islamic State wants.
Yes, and what it wants is unjustifiable and unachievable and an aim that we should resist.
Tell me this. The two corporals who were stripped and brutally murdered in West Belfast, was it terrorists who did that to them?
No, it was members of the IRA. And again, the circumstances were at the time that 3 days after 29 people were shot and wounded in Milltown Cemetery by a plainclothes person who happened to be a loyalist paramilitary armed by the British state.
Michael Stone.
3 days later, a car, to this day, it hasn't been explained, and the father of one of those corporals says that he believes that the British Army and the British government have answers.
I'm just looking here, just to remind myself, I'm just looking at the ripped apart body of one of these corporals lying on the ground. They were savaged. And they were not creating any threat, were they, to the people who murdered them?
Well, I was carrying Kevin Bailey's coffin when this car drove towards us,
and the people
at high speed, and people thought that they were being attacked again.
And the people who murdered these soldiers, Danny, you're telling me they weren't terrorists?
Even Eamon Malley, who was there at the time, broadcast that he thought it was happening all over again. Well, he thought that the two people who were driving them were armed. They did fire shots. no one was injured.
You see,
but that was a panic.
Yeah. But you see, Danny, when we have this widespread revulsion at Mwazi and Jihadi John for beheading someone, my goodness, is there much difference in cutting someone's head off and ripping someone's body apart as what happened to these corporals? And you are not able to say that the people who did that were terrorists.
You explained to me, Stephen, this propensity of yours just to choose things that either the loyalists were involved in or the Republicans, but more or less the Republicans were involved in. You know, are you going to put on a Secretary of State and turn around and say, I've looked at the photograph of Stephen McConomy, that 10-year-old child who was shot in the face by a plastic bullet and who lay on a life support machine? You know, I've never, ever heard that discourse. And there's a one-sidedness there which is unhelpful to understanding conflict generally.